Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this podcast, the subject being running a lessee-owned or leaseholder-owned management company, which may well be a management company that owns the freehold. I have in front of me Alan Walker, who has, I understand, more than a decade's experience as an officer stroke director of a company, managing a building, or block of flats, and on each occasion, when he has done so, having a share of the freehold. To start us off, Alan, explain to our audience why should one be a volunteer director, and how did you get involved in the first place?
Nicholas, hello. There are, I suppose, three key reasons that I can think of for being a volunteer director. I can tell you that I became a director for a different reason, but let's start with the formal and proper explanation. Clearly, in order to get involved in a block that one is living in, and that can be three or four flats, it could be 300 or 400 flats. In my case, it's a residential block of about 150. It's great to get involved on a personal level. It's a very good opportunity to learn new skills and to be able to have some personal development, getting involved with board meetings and so on. And it is a very good way to meet your neighbours, and they don't always come round to knock on your door at 2 o'clock in the morning when you might not wish to see them, but it is a very good way to get involved and to meet new people. The main thing about this, I think, is for all the times that we might have sat in our flats and thought, good gracious, something really should be done about this, someone should do something, it's a chance to say, and I'm going to be that someone, I'm going to get up and do something about it. In my case, I was driven to it because the flat upstairs had a leak. My bathroom ceiling fell down, and it was put back up, and the leak continued. It fell down again, and I think the managing agent thought that my stoic and flexible approach to dealing with the insurance compensation was an indication that I might be able to serve the estate by sitting on the board. I really don't recommend that people have their bathroom ceilings fall down, but you know, when the opportunity comes up, grab it. It's a very
Certainly.
Good thing to do.
Yes. Now, if I'm a director of a company that is managing a building, what should I know, really? What sort of useful sources of information should I gather?
Well, I can say that when I first started, I really knew hardly anything on the specialist side. And so it's more about knowing where to go to find things out, I think, rather than necessarily feeling that you have to have any depth of specialist knowledge before starting. It's to do with understanding what is the extent of the responsibility as a director, you know, what things can and in some cases cannot be done. And in terms of information, the managing agent is a first and vital point of contact. And in addition to that, there are professional bodies such as LEASE, the Leasehold Advisory Service, such as ARMA, where lessees can pick up information such as this very podcast, in fact, to try and work out answers to some questions. Managing agent is important, and something which I haven't really managed to do myself yet, but which I do encourage other people to do, is get in contact with other directors on other boards. There's an enormous amount of experience, there's an enormous number of directors of RMCs across the country. It's just we're not really in contact with each other. So if you're in a block that's near another block, you know, also make contact, hands across the water and so on, to see what other expertise you can pick up from other people with experience.
Thanks. Can you give us an idea of the sort of issues you've encountered whilst acting as a director?
We better be brief, I suppose. There's always an endless to-do list, as you might expect. I think the main areas are usually centred around money and works. So in the time that I've spent on a couple of different boards, service charges and arrears or non-payment or people holding money back because they're not quite happy with the service and so on, always there are questions about money. And so being able to step back from it and view it in a very sort of cool and calm and collected way is very important. It is all about, because we're all lessees, it's people and their own homes and issues that affect those homes. So it is a situation very unlike any other. It's not just, oh, it's about work. It is about where people live, really, sort of at the centre of their house and home. Budgeting is always a rather exciting and interesting part of things. One really has to remember, as a director, of course, we'd love to raise enormous amounts of money and, you know, repave pathways and redo the gardens and change the roofing and so on, but one has to be realistic. So budgeting and budgeting really for the real world is very important. And of course, major works. So I've been involved in a couple of different pieces of major works, things like replacing fire escapes or refurbishing fire escapes. And it takes us back to that opening point to learn and to develop. I know much more, still probably not enough, but I know much more about fire escapes and cast iron and steel than I ever thought I would. So these areas, you never know what's going to come up. But it's always very interesting and very engaging to get involved in it.
Thanks very much. These sort of issues that come up, again, collecting arrears and budgeting, what you say, the real-world conditions and major works, what sort of solutions to those issues do you feel are best or most common?
The solution to the money issue, of course, would be to strike oil under the building or something. That would bring its own fresh set of challenges, of course. I think it's very important, whatever the issue is, whether it's about arrears, somebody's in arrears or they're refusing to pay, or whether it's the budget and thinking about what to do next, it's very important to gather as much information around the topic as possible to make the best possible decision. And it's very important to communicate. So to communicate with lessees, to have the general meetings, to have perhaps extraordinary general meetings, if there's major works, for example, to talk about and to listen to the issues. It is important to communicate with your managing agent, really very vital, with your fellow directors. And also, this is something which is increasingly a case, with tenants, because of course there are going to be people, quite often there are tenants in blocks. They're not the lessee, but they are, not with the arrears, but they are involved with or concerned by other changes, major works which will happen around their flat and so on. So I think it is communication and more communication and more communication that helps to get through to this, to the solution for these things. And it is very important to listen. Two-way communication, but listening is very important.
Yes, that is very important, yes, in all walks of life, but particularly in running a building.
Very much so.
Can you give some tips or ideas about how to get along with your fellow leaseholders, including the effective running of the inevitable meeting, or meetings?
meetings, which are a joy to be cherished. We've said communicate. In terms of general meetings or the extraordinary general meetings, which might be about a particular topic, whether it's about fire escape refurbishment or communal heating, to run them as an open forum. It's an opportunity for leaseholders to come in and to have their say. It's a relatively public occasion, even though it's these general meetings are limited to leaseholders only. Certainly, if there are 150 flats in a development, there can be a lot of people in a meeting, and that is not necessarily an arena in which people are used to working or are very comfortable in working. So making sure really to give a lot of chance for people to have their say, to prepare in advance with fellow board members in order to be able to answer questions as they come up and to think through the way that the board wants to structure a meeting. Although I'm very keen on having open forum meetings, a totally unstructured meeting in which people simply all shout their point of view and no notes are taken, it's quite useless. It's a tremendous waste of everybody's time. So structure and preparation to have an agenda, even if it's a pretty open agenda, which says we're going to talk about this topic and we're going to take your questions. Timekeeping, if something's going to start at 7:30 and it's going to run till 9 o'clock, then for goodness sake, make sure that you're able to start at 7:30 and don't be the person who turns up at 7:45, who is in fact a director and should be in charge of their own timekeeping. Do finish it on time. And something that I've learned over these various years of experience is to make sure that there is almost a 5-minute or 10-minute buffer at the end of the meeting in which either to ask about any other business or, in the way that it is when you go to see a GP, you say, is there anything else? Anything else, and it's at that point that someone will say, well, actually, yes, there's this particular point that I really want to get across. As GPs, I think, quite often say, the person will sit in the surgery, and at the last moment they'll say, well, incidentally, my foot's come off or something really major. So it is give a little bit of time for any other business, a little bit of time for the famous, is there anything else wrong with you? Because it may be, in fact, and it has been the case, that you pick up something that you didn't know about or that you were not aware was felt to be as serious as it clearly is in the last 5 or 10 minutes. And after those meetings, when they're complete, it's to make sure the minutes are drawn up, and it may be the managing agent who does that, it may be the company secretary who does that, it may be somebody on your own board, but to make sure that's circulated and it's clear and that you instruct. So if something comes out, if there's an action that comes from the meeting that is decided, to instruct the managing agent or to instruct the board or to instruct to make sure the lessees are aware of what's happening, it's an open forum for discussion. There must be something that comes out of it so people really feel that it was worth going, they got their point across, and then there's action afterwards.
Thanks. You mentioned managing agents, and I just wondered, when should one use managing agents?
Well, my experience, which runs from about 2005-ish, 2006, 10 years spread across two different boards, is that the complexity of legal frameworks, the complexity of the number of different acts there are, housing acts and so on, means it's quite difficult in anything other than a pretty small estate with a small number of units to do without a managing agent. Now, the two different boards that I've sat on have both had mostly been made up of people who have a day job. I also have a day job. This is not what I do. This is something I also do pretty much in the evenings and or at weekends. There are areas of expertise that I have access to because the managing agent has the expertise, and so I draw heavily on their advice. I think it's not only, in fact, that there's legal complexity, it's also that it is constantly changing. So for me, at least in my personal opinion, to have a managing agent, finding the right managing agent, not any managing agent, but a managing agent is very important in helping to guide and to advise. The decisions are still taken by the boards, by the directors on behalf of the lessees, but it's to have someone help navigate, because it is complex, and you know, we need help. We amateur directors, we need the professional help, I think, of managing agents.
Yeah. So finding the right managing agent, that's important.
Yes, if you're
going to go for a managing agent,
yes.
How would you go around selecting and appointing one?
Well, having said, you know, there's a feeling, and there very often is, that a managing agent is needed. Often there may be one already. In some cases, it may be a board that thinks, well, we should really get a professional in. These are people who you're going to be in contact with quite a lot. So as with any interview, you're looking at two things. You are looking, of course, at competence and take references and make sure that they understand what they're talking about and that they have good experience. But you're also, looking for chemistry. You're looking for somebody that you are going to be happy working with, and that you feel happy that your lessees will want to be in contact with. It's important to remember, yes, directors are lessees, but there are a lot of other lessees who are not on a board. So to be a lessee and then to become a director is to take on an additional responsibility towards all of your fellow lessees who aren't on the board, to represent them, hence the communication we talked about a bit earlier. So it's looking to find the right fit. And there are all sorts of different managing agents, different sizes of a managing agent company, different people. Something, which is also the case, of course, whenever you're interviewing, something important is ask to meet, at some point, the people who will actually be your points of contact. In my day job, part of my job is developing business and selling the services, and it's important not just to have the front, the shiny people who deal always with new business. You want to meet the people who are going to work with you. So, you know, take references, meet the real team, and back to communication, make it as clear as possible, and sometimes you really have to think about this to get it written down, make it as clear as possible the situation that exists on your estate or in your block, and make it as clear as possible the way that you work. Some boards are more informal than others. Some have more regular meetings than others. I think it's very important at the early stage when selecting and when talking to potential managing agents to give them the best possible understanding of how the directors work as a board, because it's a two-way process. You know, you may want to appoint somebody, but they may feel that actually they don't want to work with you, and you don't want to be in that position. When you get a managing agent, I think, you know, it's good to build a relationship over a number of years. You know, to keep things fresh, yes, but to have a to build a good working relationship. So I think it's chemistry and competence. Pick up the references and make sure it's a two-way kind of recruitment process, effectively.
Yeah. So if you were to use one word or one expression to define working with agents, what would you say?
It's got to be communication. It's communication. And then I would add several more words, and they are communication and communication and communication. It is. I think probably we've all experienced this. You can talk to somebody, and it may be in a formal setting. You may talk to somebody in the office. You may have a formal meeting. You may go to your bank and talk. You may indeed talk to your partner or a brother or sister or something. And when you come away from the conversation, you're pretty sure what was agreed. And when you talk to them afterwards, they're pretty sure that something else was agreed. And so in terms of working with agents, check and double check that when you've said that you want something done or you'd like to have some information, you know, reread the email before you send it. Think about the conversation after you've had it. Double check and say, is this clear? When I've asked for this thing, do you understand what it is that I'm looking for? Because it makes things faster if you double check first, rather than some process starting off and then maybe 2 or 3 weeks later you look at the results and think, this entirely fails to answer the question that I thought I had asked, but it may be that the way the question was interpreted isn't the way that you had intended it to be. You know how it is, you read an email and you see it one way and you read it again and see it another. So it again, working with agents, it's stay in touch, and in the instructions, instruct clearly. I think it's very important.
Okay, thanks so much, Alan. I'd like three top tips for those thinking about becoming directors.
Well, before becoming a director, it is a good idea, if you're interested in it and you think, this is something I really want to get involved in, first port of call, depending on the way that you're block is run or your estate is run, would be to talk to the managing agent. I think directors are often quite busy, so they may not so much welcome you knocking at their door at 3 o'clock in the morning, as we said earlier on. Talk to a managing agent and say, look, I'm quite interested in this. Go along to one of the general meetings that's held for your block, and stay on at the end and say, look, this is very interesting to me. Can we have a chat? I recommend talking to the managing agent because they will give you a good insight into the sort of responsibilities that there are. Usually, the board will also ask to do this, but it's good to chat to a director in an informal way, just to say, look, what kind of stuff goes on, how much time do I have to put into this? You know, it's not always clear, and it does vary from estate to estate. And then I suppose that the main recommendation is, you know, if you're thinking about it, do it. You know, just get stuck in. It came to me quite by chance. You know, this bathroom ceiling episode, this is the silver lining. When your bathroom ceiling falls down, you're not particularly happy with the situation. I had no idea that it might lead into actually sitting as a director on the board and then trying to help other people whose bathroom ceilings might fall down. So if you're listening to this, then you already are expressing an interest. If you're thinking about it, get in contact and do it.
Thanks very much. Thanks.
Not at all. It's a pleasure.
Thanks for getting stuck in today in this subject.
I'm happy to have done so. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you very much, Alan.